What great love He would give Himself for us. Let's look to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And we're going to look to a lot of scriptures this morning and just try to see some things that will teach us about how to walk in love. How to walk in love. As we continue to study this theme of learning how to walk, the Bible teaches us a lot about walking in love. It teaches us that we're to love one another. And that's what I want to speak to you about this morning. Let's stand together and just read a couple verses to begin. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1 says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Again, verse number 1, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." He implies something very obviously. If you're going to be a follower of God and as God's children, we are to do what? What verse 2 says? Walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us, what I just sing about, and gave Himself for us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, please just take Your word and take me. I'm so feeble and weak right now, and I ask You to strengthen me. I ask You to put power and great unction behind Your word, that it would convict our hearts and challenge us and speak to us. Please, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Here, as God's children, we are commanded to follow His example. It says, "Be therefore followers of God." If you follow someone, you're following their example. You're kind of following in their steps. You're doing what they would do. We're commanded as God's children to follow His example. And we're commanded and we're taught to walk in love. Think about how Christ loved us. Think about how Christ gave Himself for us. And we should in the same way be willing to give ourselves for others. The Bible teaches us in the book of Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." I'm so glad that when Jesus was going to the cross of Calvary, He wasn't just looking out for Himself, He was looking out for me. He wasn't just thinking of Himself, He was thinking of me. Because if He was just thinking of Himself, He could have come down off that cross. He could have said, "Forget this. I'm not dying on the cross. I don't deserve to die on the cross. I've not done anything wrong." But He stayed on the cross for you and for me, and He gave Himself for us. He lived a life that was completely for the sake of others. It was for you and me, rather than living for Himself. What a great demonstration of love that is. I want us to look this morning at many scriptures that will show us what God's Word teaches us repeatedly about walking in love. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of 1 John. Not the Gospel of John, but right towards the end of the New Testament. You're going to find the epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And that's where we're going to look. Right towards the end of your New Testament. We're going to begin there at 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. We are taught repeatedly how to walk in love. And if we're going to know how to love others, then we first need to understand how much God loves us. 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 8. Let's look at that. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is" what? Love. God is love. Look down to verse 16. It says, "And we have not known and believed the love that God..." Sorry, it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." God is what? Love. God is love. "And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." You know what one of the greatest characteristics is about our God? That he's a loving God. We can't diminish any of the other characteristics. I even said it recently. We can't diminish the fact that God is a holy God and God is a just God and so on. And that is the ultimate character of our God. He's holy. He is holy. But we also have a God who is very, very loving. He loves His creation. He loves you and me.
That even though we sinned against God, and as the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way. Even though we went away from God, he still loves us. And God's love is a very redeeming love. It's a merciful love. It's a tender love. It's a forgiving love. It's a patient love. It's a long-suffering love. He shows all of that to us because he loves us. Because he loves us. Our God is a very loving God. God is love. I want you also to notice that God made known his love to us. He showed his love to us. He proved his love to us. Notice what it said in verse 9. 1 John 4:9. Said in verse 8, remember, God is love. Verse 9, in this was manifested. The word manifested is a word that just means completely made known. In this was manifested. In this was completely made known. The love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. What a great demonstration of love that God would send his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. John chapter 3 and verse 16, what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved us. And in God's love, he demonstrated that love by giving his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. No greater expression of love. As it said in the song, no greater love has ever been known, no greater love has ever been shown than God demonstrating his love to us by giving his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. So first I said this, God is love. Secondly, God made known, or he showed, or he proved his love for us. I want you to notice something else. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10. It says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the mediator, the go-between, the one that could redeem us and save us from our sins. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. You know what? God showed the purest, truest, greatest kind of love. He loved us even when we did not love him. You know what? It comes a lot easier to love someone when they love you. It's a whole lot easier to love someone who's shown love towards you. It's easy to love someone when you know that they love you. But to love someone when they've forsaken you, to love someone when they've turned away from you, to love someone when they've hurt you, to love someone when they've sinned against you, to love someone when they've wronged you, well, that's a lot more difficult. But that's the kind of love that our God had for us. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth, that word commendeth means he proved. But God commendeth, he proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Just like 1 John 4:10 said. Herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He loved us even when we were sinners. He loved us even when we didn't deserve his love. He loved us and is willing to make us his child and redeem us and save us and give us a home in heaven even when we didn't deserve it. That's great love. Great love. Here close by, in the book of Titus, chapter number 3, verse 4 and 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. The Bible says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. The kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. What a wonderful verse. You know what? God doesn't love us because you've done so many good things for him. God doesn't love you because of all your righteousness. God doesn't love you because you're such a good person. No, God loves you in spite of the fact that we're sinners. God loves you and me in spite of the fact that we've sinned against him. God loves you and me in spite of the fact that we've broken the commands of a holy God, our Creator. God loves us still. God's love is the purest and truest and greatest kind of love. He loved us even when we didn't love Him. He loved us even though we've sinned against Him. What incredible, incredible love. Back in 1 John there, chapter 4, and look at verse number 7. 1 John 4 and verse 7. If we are God's children, then we ought also to love. We ought also to love. Look what it says. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Hey, you're born again. If you truly know God in your life and you know Christ as your Savior in your life, then we ought to be showing love. We ought to also be loving like God loves. It says in verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. Look down at verse number 13. Verse 13, 1 John 4, 13. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us. He says, if you want to know, if you're dwelling in Christ and you're dwelling in God, and God and Christ is dwelling in you, then here's some proof of that. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. If we're God's children, we also ought to love. If we're God's children, we ought also to love. Hey, thank God for his love towards us. Now, if you're God's child, you also ought to love. We should live a life of anger towards others and unforgiveness towards others. We need to learn to love like God does. If we have received God's love, then we need to show God's love. The Bible says, freely ye have received, freely give. You know what the greatest gift that we've ever received is? Our salvation. The greatest thing we've ever received is the love of God. If there's no greater truth in the whole wide world that you could share with somebody, then to let them know that, hey, God loves them. And God sent his Son Jesus Christ to die on Calvary to give his life for them. The fact of God's love and the truth of God's love is such an incredible thing. And you and I have received God's love. If you're here and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know that God loves you. You know that God sent Jesus to die for you. And you've trusted him and you've received of his love. Now we need to show love. We shouldn't just receive love, we should give love. We need to show love to others. If we've received God's love, show God's love to others. Verse number 11 tells us that. It says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to what? Love one another. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Oh, you think, oh, John 3:16, isn't that wonderful? For God so loved the world. God so loved us. He loved you and me. But then we're taught, so we also ought to love one another. We ought to love one another. There needs to be a love in your heart towards the other brethren. There needs to be a love in your heart towards other believers. There needs to be a care and a love for others in your heart. Many other things that love entails. But we need to love others. If we've received God's love, we should also show God's love to others. Notice another thought that these verses teach us. God's love is perfected in us when we love others. God's love is perfected or fulfilled or completed in us when we love others. Don't you love it when... I guess I may be a little bit of a perfectionist, but I like it when things are just perfect, just right, just the way they're supposed to be, and something's completed. God's love needs to be perfected in us. God doesn't love us like he loves us just so that we can do some kind of half-done job of loving others. He doesn't love us with all the love that he loves us so that we can just... Well, I feel like loving today, but I don't feel like loving tomorrow. I don't feel like loving them today, right? I don't feel like loving them. No, we need to let God's love be perfected in us. Verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. His love is perfected in us. Can I ask you something? Is God's love being perfected in you? I promise you, God gives you lots of opportunities for His love to be perfected in your life. You know why? Because you also happen to live in a world that's full of sin. And when we live in a world full of sin, there's going to be a lot of hurt. When we live in a world full of sinners, you know what? There's going to be times where people hurt one another. There's going to be times where people are not kind to one another. There's going to be times where people mistreat one another. But in a world of sin, there's going to be a lot of hurt. And if God's love is going to be perfected in us, then we need to love sinners. We need to love even times when we're sinned against. We need to love even when we've been wronged against, just like God loved us. God's love was for sinners. God's love was even for those that would hurt Him. And we need to love others, no matter what. No matter what, learn to love like God loves. God's love is perfected in us when we love others. You know, the New Testament reminds believers often that we ought to love one another. We're going to come back to 1 John in a moment, but look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. It'll be back to the left, just, maybe 25 pages or so, maybe. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and chapter 4, verse 9. The Bible teaches us that we ought to be increasing in love. All through the New Testament, we can look and God teaches us how we ought to love and how we ought to love one another. Well, God's Word says we ought to be increasing in love. We ought to be increasing in love, abounding in love. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9 says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." He says to them, to the church of Thessalonica, you've already been taught of God how you ought to love. You've been taught of God by His example and by the love that He's shown to you. You've been taught of God how you ought to love. But He says, I want you to keep on increasing more and more in love. I want your love to be growing. I want your love to be increasing. Could you be real honest with yourself and would you say, your love is increasing? Is your love for your spouse increasing or diminishing? Is your love for your children increasing or is it diminishing? Is your love for other brothers and sisters in Christ, is it increasing or is it diminishing? Is your love for the things of God, is it increasing or is it just kind of staying? It's just kind of sitting in a pool of water. Is your love increasing? Is your love growing? Are you making an effort to love those around you? Are you making an effort to love those within your sphere? Are you loving your family? Are you loving your church? Are you loving other believers? Are you increasing more and more in love towards one another? We're taught of God how we ought to love one another, but He says, be increasing more and more in that love. Is your love growing? Our love needs to be increasing. It needs to be increasing. Turn back with me to 1 John, if you would. 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter 2. I touched on this already, but we know that we are in Christ if His love is being perfected in our lives. Back in 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter 2, and look there at verse number 3. It says, "And hereby we do know that we know Him. We know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him." God's word makes it, it says it's going to be evident. It's going to be a token. It's going to be obvious that you're in Christ because of God's love being perfected in you. And again, God's love starting to be demonstrated in your life. As you receive God's love, you begin to show it. As you've received God's mercy, you begin to show it. As you've received God's forgiveness, you begin to show more forgiveness with others. As you've received God's patience and long-suffering in your life, you begin to show more patience and long-suffering towards others. As you've received of God's generosity and hospitality towards you, you begin to show more generosity and hospitality towards others. Are you in Christ?
the love that you demonstrate, the love, the way that you're living ought to demonstrate whether Christ is in you or not. Whether you are in Christ. Listen, we know that we're in Christ if His love is being perfected in our lives. With that, I say this. We are not walking in love if our heart is filled with hatred towards someone else. These are just what the Bible says. We're looking at verses. This is what God says about how we ought to love one another. Listen, the Bible teaches us this. We're not walking in love if our heart is filled with hatred towards someone else. Look what it says in chapter 2, verse 9. 1 John 2:9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He says, you can't be truly walking in the light if you've got hatred towards your brother. You can't be truly walking in love or walking in light if you've got hatred towards another person. We can't be walking in love like God wants us to if, you know what, our heart is filled with hatred towards our brother or sister. You can't really say, I love you, God, and I love others, God, the way you want me to, if your heart is filled with hatred towards your parents. You can't say, if your heart is filled with hatred towards some other Christian or some other person. You can't. We can't truly be letting God's love be perfected in us if we're filled with hatred towards someone else. Look what the Bible says back in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 10. The book of Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 13 and verse 10 in the beginning of your New Testament. Romans 13 and verse 10. We're not walking in love if our heart is filled with hatred towards someone else. Romans 13, 10 says this, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You know, love is not trying to hurt their neighbor. Love is not trying to make things difficult for their neighbor. Love is not trying to work ill or trying to work evil towards or to do wrong towards or to try to make things difficult for someone else. When we do that, we're not walking in love. We're walking in vengeance. We're walking in anger. We're walking in malice. We're trying to get even. We're holding a grudge. We're trying to hurt someone else. We can't try to hurt someone else and say that we love. Love worketh no ill towards his neighbor. Look back with me at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 36. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. The Bible says here, Matthew 22, 36. Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So what's the greatest commandment, Jesus? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. What's the second greatest commandment? Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Ephesians teaches us that no man yet has ever, you know, hated himself. Listen, try to take care of ourselves. We show love towards ourselves. Well, we're typically not out to hurt ourselves or to make ourselves as miserable as possible. No, we're concerned about ourselves. That's the way we're supposed to love our neighbor. We're to love them as ourselves. Our love for them is to be great, just as our love for God is to be great. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Look what it says back over even in Matthew chapter number 5. These were the words of Jesus here in the book of Matthew. He instructs us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Boy, he gives us something else that you'll think, oh, I just don't know about that. Well, listen, I'm just trying to read you the scriptures. This is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus said. If you don't like it, you don't have to take it up with me. You have to take it up with God. That this is what he said. This is, if we're going to love one another, if we're going to love as God loves, then this is what he tells us to do. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43 says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Again, can I tell you something? If the love of God is being perfected in us, then that teaches us to love the way that Christ loved. And did Christ love only those who loved him? No. He loved those who didn't. He loved those who hurt him. He loved those who were his enemies. The book of Romans, whether you like to think of it that way or not, the book of Romans tells us that we were his enemies. Before we receive of God's love and God's grace and of salvation, we were his enemies because of our sin, because of our disobedience to God. And God loved us even though we were his enemies. God showed his love to us, and God over and over again proves his love to us. We're not to just love those that are good to us. It says we're not just to love those who love us, because that's easy to do. We're to love those that have hated us. We're to love those that have hurt us. We're to love those that have wronged us. We're to learn to love our enemies. Love others even if they've hurt you or mistreated you. Listen, because we're sinners, there are all going to be times where we hurt somebody that we even care about. But we need to love. We need to forgive. We need to be patient. We're taught to love our enemies. To love our enemies. We're not walking in love if our heart is just filled with hatred and anger towards someone else. Turn with me, if you would, over to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 13 and verse number 34. The Bible teaches us here that love is a distinguishing characteristic of true believers. You say, I'm a believer. Okay, are you loving? Are you loving one another? Love is a distinguishing characteristic, a character trait of true believers. John chapter 13 and verse 34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Jesus says to his disciples, he says, it'll be obvious. People will be able to tell. You're one of Christ's disciples. You're one of the followers of Jesus. Why? Because of the way that they would treat people, the way that they would treat others, the way that they would love others. Listen, we live in a world that with our sinful nature is very selfish. Our sinful nature is always putting ourselves first and looking out for old number one. But if we live like Christ and we put others first before ourselves, and we do good to others, even when they've mistreated us. And we love others even when they've hurt us. And we pray for others even if they've hurt us. The world will be something different about that. Why? Because you're loving like Christ. You're being different. You're loving not as the world loves, but you're loving as God loves. Oh, it ought to be a characteristic of our life as true believers that we love one another. That we love one another. Back in the book of 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 11. The Bible said this. "For this is the message that we have heard from the beginning. That we should love one another." He says there in verse 14. "We know that we have passed from death unto life. Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." No, the Bible makes it plain and clear, doesn't it? Those that are lost, those that don't trust Christ, those that do not believe, they're headed for death, the second death. But those who believe are passed from death unto life, the Bible says. They're saved. They have eternal life. They become the children of God. Again, God says in 1 John that one of those signs that you have passed from death unto life, one of those signs that you truly are a believer in Christ and a follower of Christ, is that you will love others. You will love the brethren. "He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Listen, we ought to be known for loving others. We ought to be known for loving one another. Love is a distinguishing characteristic of true believers. Also, notice this, the example of Christ teaches us how we ought to love others. Here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "Hereby perceive we." The word perceive in this verse kind of meaning, hereby we understand. This is our perception now. This is how we understand God's love. It says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us." And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The example of Christ teaches us how we ought to love others. Are we willing to lay down our life for the brethren? Would you be willing to take any part of you and say, "I'm going to put it at stake for somebody else. I'm going to spend, or I'm going to invest, or I'm going to give. I'm going to give a part of my life, and I'm going to give a part of my heart, and I'm going to give a part of my love for the sake of some others." Christ laid down His life for us on the cross of Calvary, and He died for us. Hey, I'd just like a piece of that. I'd like to lay down some of my life for others, for those that God is teaching me to love. Will you lay down your life for the sake of others? Christ laid His life down, being willing to be crucified and hang on a cross. Being willing to be mocked and beaten, spat upon, and have a crown of thorns driven into His head. It wasn't so enjoyable what He endured for us. But He was laying down His life for those that He loved. Would you be willing to sometimes suffer some things because you love someone? Are you willing to give of yourself and give your all and give of your love and give much because you know what? You love someone. You love the brethren. You love Christ. You love others. Oh, His example teaches us how we ought to love one another. John 15:12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The example of Christ teaches us how we ought to love. Love shows compassion and does something to meet the needs of others. Love shows compassion and does something to meet the needs of others. 1 John 3 and verse 17 says this, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" It says, how can we look and see, here's a brother, here's a Christian brother that has a need in their life, and see that they have a need, and God has maybe given us an ability to meet that need. Yet we turn aside and we don't care to meet that need. We don't care to help that need. Many of you would know the story of the Good Samaritan who helped that person that was, you know, stranded there on the side of the road, and they were in trouble and they were hurt and so on. I'm sure that some of those others that passed by, I'm sure they had an ability to help, a means to help. They could have helped, but what did they do? In every case, they passed by on the other side. They didn't show compassion. They didn't show love. They didn't care like they needed to care. Love shows compassion and does something to meet the needs of others. She says, how can we shut up our bowels of compassion? How dwelleth the love of God in him? How does the love of God dwell in us if we won't show compassion and love towards others? Just a couple other thoughts and we'll be through. Love is expressed by actions and not just words. Notice what it says in 1 John 3:18. Love is expressed by actions and not just words. 1 John 3:18, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's one thing just to say, "I love you." It's another thing to prove your love. It's one thing to say, "I love you." It's another thing to demonstrate that love, show that love, and prove that love over and over and over again by showing patience and kindness and forgiveness and mercy. It's one thing to say, "I love you." It's another thing to demonstrate that love by giving
and by sacrifice and by hard work and effort and labor and just maybe an investment of time or energy. Oh, it's one thing for you to say, well, I told my kids that I love them. It's a whole other thing for you to invest a bunch of time in them and know that they're a priority in your life and they're important to you. It's one thing to say, oh, I love my wife. Of course I love my wife. It's another thing for you to invest a lot of time in your wife and spend time with your wife and to communicate with your wife and talk to your wife and to be giving unto your wife. It's one thing to say that you love them. It's another thing to prove that you love them. Show that you love them. Let your love be demonstrated by actions, not just words.
He says, don't just love in word. Don't just love with your tongue. Love with your deeds. Love with your actions. Love is expressed by actions, not just words. The book of Peter tells us to love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Fervently. You need to be fervent about your love. Love is long-suffering. Notice there's a couple other verses with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13 and also Colossians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 and 5. It says charity. The word charity is another word for love in the New Testament here. Charity suffereth long. Charity suffereth long? Yeah, because charity is willing to suffer for the sake of someone that you love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Is your heart ever filled with envy towards someone else? You maybe wish that you had someone that someone else had, or you maybe wish you could do something that someone else could do, or you maybe wish your situation was different and your situation was more like somebody else's. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. In other words, charity isn't proud. Charity isn't proud. Always thinking that it's better than someone else, or better than your brother or sister, or better than your husband or wife, or better than some other Christian. Charity's not proud. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Again, looketh not every man on himself, but every man on the things of others. Right? Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Love is long-suffering and kind and not envious. It's humble, it's not proud, it's unselfish. You know, true love, God's love, is a very unselfish love. We sometimes can have this kind of artificial love in our lives where we love someone, but we're expecting something from them. Our love may be a very conditional love. Can I tell you something? God's love is unconditional. He loves us no matter how we love Him back. He loves us no matter if we return the love or not. His love is unconditional. Colossians chapter 3. After Corinthians, you'll find it easily. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 12. Colossians chapter 3, there in verse number 12. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel, in other words, an argument against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond. In other words, the glue, the adhesive, the bond. The bond of perfectness. Love is merciful. Will you show mercy to others? Love is kind. Love is forgiving. Just as Christ was towards us. Just as Christ was merciful towards us. That's how we need to show mercy. Just as Christ was forgiving towards us. That's how we need to be forgiving with others. You know, I need forgiveness. Sometimes my wife and I have... We've had this little joke, or, you know, if she's done something and she comes to me and she might say something, honey, will you forgive me? And I'll say, honey, I live a life of forgiveness. Oh, it's probably far more true the other way around, but can I tell you something? We constantly need to forgive us, need forgiveness. We need to forgive others. We need to seek forgiveness. We can wrong others. We can hurt others. And, boy, we need forgiveness. So we are not perfect. We're sinful. We have a sin nature. That's when we need to learn to love like God loves, unconditionally. Be merciful. Be patient. Sometimes be willing to suffer a little bit for the sake of, I love that person so much. God has taught me to love them. God is teaching me to love them. God has commanded us to love one another. Let's love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that from your word, from the example of Christ, we would learn how to love. We know the Bible has made it so clear that if we are in Christ and Christ is in us, then your love ought to be being perfected in our lives. Your love ought to be being seen in our lives. Your love ought to be being demonstrated in our lives. Father God, please, I ask you to teach us how we ought to love one another. Teach us and help us to love our family better. Teach us, Father, to be increasing and growing in love towards one another. Increasing in our care and kindness towards one another. Increasing in our interest and investment and involvement in each other's lives. In increasing in our care for one another's burdens and helping one another along. Father, help us not just to love those who've loved us, but to love everyone. Help us to love at times when we've been hurt. Help us to love at times when we've been offended. Help us to love at times when we've been wronged. May we have a love that is willing to suffer a little bit, willing to be patient, a love that's unselfish, not seeking our own. A love that is merciful, a love that is forgiving, a love that is kind, a love that is compassionate, a love that sees the needs of others and tries to meet those needs. A love that will even love our enemies. Father, please teach us how we ought to love. May we walk in love. May your love be perfected in us, please.